Well, good morning. Today is Sunday, June 24th, 2018. And Jerry's away. His daughter is getting married today. So he's up there to escort her down the aisle up in Maine. So great blessings to him on this day. Last week, we started our study on choices, the paths that God's offered for us. And we looked at repentance and looked at God's great admonition, the choices or paths set before men in Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. These choices remain the same today. Life and death, or blessing and cursing. There are only two. It may seem like a multiple choice question where you have a 50-50 chance of getting it right, but our wonderful Heavenly Father increases the odds to 100% when he states, choose life. When it comes to making a choice, the flesh is weak and unreliable. We may make the choice for life, but midstream we get tempted and start walking a path that leads to death and cursing. The word kila'a, translated cursing here, means vilification, execration, or the act of cursing. For the most part in handling cursing, I have focused on unintentional cursing of ourselves through our negative self-talk, where we call ourselves stupid, and other names. When we speak of ourselves outside of the Word of God, we set ourselves up for the devil to draw up a contract. The devil is very happy to accommodate you through your own endorsement on his contract. He will be happy to give life to your self-disparaging words. You know, you don't like the way your hair looks, so you say, I hate my hair. I'd rather be bald. The adversary hears you say that kind of thing about your hair over and over, and he's very willing to help you out with something like chemo. He thinks, oh, so he or she would rather be bald? I can fix that. That's just one example, but self-cursing is a terrible habit, and we should be alert to the statements you level against yourself over and over. Don't berate yourself. Know the word, have it in your heart, and in everything be thankful. Think accurately and speak the truth about yourself. When he tells you about condemnation, that you're so lousy and you're no good, well, think how worthy God has made you through Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter 4, then in verse 23, tells us, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Another thing we may think of regarding cursing, we associate cursing with voodoo or witchcraft or even four-letter words. But there is another aspect of cursing to look at. There is never a need to be fearful of the enemy's cursing against us or some person by way of occult practices placing a curse on us. That is a weapon that according to God shall not prosper against us. Go to Isaiah chapter 54. And down in verse 17 it says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Curses can be more elusive than making a doll and stabbing it with needles. Has someone else cursed us by repeatedly berating you in some way, directly, or gossip behind your back? It can happen in many different ways. All curses open us up to contracts with the enemy. If we entertain negatives and nurse them, he'll say, well, if you're willing to do all that, I'll just add some power to your efforts. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3 tells us, for the lips of a strange woman. And we ought to look at that as foolishness. Drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth, that's also foolishness, is smoother than oil. When we see strange woman in words relating to her, let's read it as foolishness. A fool is someone who thinks he knows something when they do not. Back to Proverbs chapter 5, in verse 4. But the end of foolishness, her end, is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Verse 5. Her feet, or the acts of foolishness, go down to death. Her steps, foolish habits, take hold on hell or the grave. Remember, God told us to choose
life
and blessings in Deuteronomy 28. Verse 6, lest thou should ponder the path of life, her ways, the ways of foolishness, are movable, that thou canst not know them. Lest means to avoid something undesirable. To do that, make your path level and smooth. Verse 7, hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Proverbs 5, verse 8, remove thy way far from her, foolishness, and come not nigh to the door, the entrance of foolishness, of her house. And the cursing I want to focus on today is the believers cursing others. That we would wish evil against another person is just as evil of a sin as any other. The news of the day can be very upsetting, and it's meant to be. News outlets are of the world and report what supports their view of the world. I've heard reporters and celebrities speak curses against various presidents and even against some of our first ladies and their children by expressing their wishes that they would die or be assassinated or some other evil would befall them. That is sin. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 20, if you go there, it tells us, the preacher tells us, curse not the king or the president or the first family. No, not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. It gets around. In Proverbs 26, verse 2, it tells us, as the bird by wandering, and the bird is a swallow or And by wandering, wander means to flit to and fro. It's a euphemism in Hebrew to mean to bemoan oneself. We know it today as have a pity party. Oh, woe is me. As the swallow, and that is a swift, so the curse causeless shall not come. Causeless means for no reason or no purpose, undeservedly innocent, or out of the blue. Cursing should not be a part of our thought life, even for a second, and definitely not part of our prayer life. Paul gave us very clear instructions in Romans chapter 12, if you'll go there, and in verse 14, it says, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Persecute has some teeth in it. It means to run swiftly in order to catch a person, to pursue in a hostile manner, to harass, trouble, to eagerly seek after. Curse means to pray against or to wish doom upon someone. It is the act of invoking evil against someone or something to utter a curse. You may think, and you may be right, that you should be angry, but the scriptures say, be angry and sin not, and cursing is a sin. Yeah. But if you are wishing and praying for someone's doom, that is sin of witchcraft. It's a deliberate rebellion against the scriptures. Are you unwittingly practicing witchcraft? I'm not a witch. No, but if you're cursing them, it's the same thing. That's what they do. I remember reading in the news that witches gathered together and put a curse on the Trump family and on the president. Mm-hmm. And that's sin. It says the sin of rebellion. Witchcraft is as the sin of rebellion because you're rebelling against the scriptures. That's not what God says. God says, curse not the king. And we're to pray for all those that are in authority. Let's go to James chapter 3. Here's what happens. James chapter 3, well, let's begin in verse 8. But the tongue no man can tame, or no man by his five senses is going to be able to tame it. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Verse 9, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God, the born-again believers. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation or manner of life or the way he converses or communicates his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Pure means it has no admixture to it, no contamination. Then peaceable. It's tranquil. It brings tranquility. Gentle. This word gentle is an unusual word, and it literally means suitable, fit, not necessarily to the letter of the law, but that which is suitable and fit and appropriate for the vacation. It's one of those things you wonder, why didn't I think of that before? I could have had a V8. And easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality. Partiality is hypocrisy. And without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Well, we can make peace in our prayer life by speaking in tongues the wonderful works of God. Messages from between us and our Heavenly Father. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The point here is the tongue must be tamed with the Spirit of God that is within us, with the power of agape love, by a commitment. It's not a feeling, agape love. It's a commitment. And in the beautiful manifestation, Michelle, you brought forth, God was very clear. He's committed to helping us. He's committed. He's faithful to us. Committed to be faithful and to be trustworthy. And he told us how much he loved us. And that's a commitment. You know, he doesn't wake up one morning and say, oh, I feel great. And by the afternoon, look at those turds. I've had enough of them. You know, he doesn't flip like that. He's not molded by feelings. He is committed. Remember Romans 7, 18 and 19. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would not, I do. But the evil which I would not, that I do. But Larry, I preach vehemently against witchcraft. Yes, and yet some of those ministers are the ones who pray for the death of other ministers they disagree with. And look, many ministers have preached against adultery and homosexuality only to see their ministries destroyed because they have been caught in the very same sin they condemn. You can be the most vehement preacher to ever speak, but it's the word that you have hidden in your heart, the same word that you live each day, that will keep you from sinning against God. Remember Jesus in his temptations answered, "It is written." Then Psalm 119, if you go there. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Dominion means mastery, or to domineer, to dominate. Iniquity is unrighteousness, trouble, wicked sorrow. The evil spirit realm is in all unrighteousness. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Don't let the adversary in. Don't give him the opportunity when he takes out the contract. Don't sign it with your own lips. Think of Jesus during the temptations of the devil. His every response was, "It is written." There was no drama, no arguing back and forth, no pity parties. He met the temptations with the word that was hidden in his heart. He was white hot in the spirit, on fire, and established on the word of God. Psalm 119:11. And this helped David. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Right. So what can I do instead of heating myself up and having to blow off steam and wind up sinning? Well, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And then verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. The greatest way to do that is speak in tongues, because you will not curse God, you will not curse your neighbor, you will not curse yourself. Whether you are all for or totally against an administration, in its rule, here's God's solution of what to do instead of getting upset. Pray, thank God for his help. Your prayers will intercede and give thanks for all those that are in authority. They all need it, that is for sure, and so do we. For kings and for all that are in authority, we don't know what they need, but God is the searcher of all hearts, and he has done amazing things in some of the hardest hearts. Let's look at the hard hearts. If you go to Acts chapter 9, in verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest to get letters that he may lead them bound back to Jerusalem. Then in verse 13, when the Lord told Ananias to go into a street called Straight, and you'll find one Paul praying and minister to him. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done. Everybody keeps speaking how terrible he is and what he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And the Lord's, and he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And Paul even says of himself in 1 Timothy chapter 1, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly. It does not say innocently, in unbelief. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. How unlikely would he become an apostle if I were there to choose who I would pick to be a chosen vessel unto God? I certainly would have skipped Paul. Who would have thunk? Well, the Lord did. I chose him. He's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before kings and the children of Israel. Then 1 Timothy chapter 2. This is what God suggests we do. In verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I know we used to talk about the person you witness to may be the next Apostle Paul for our generation. Wouldn't it be awesome if Kim Jong-un turned out to be the next Apostle Paul and he was instrumental in leading people in Asia to the Lord Jesus Christ and move the word through all of Asia? Paul took care of Asia Minor, but it would be wonderful to have somebody take care of Asia. There is a great need for speaking in tongues. I honestly don't know what to say when praying in my understanding for some of the horrific things going on in our country and other countries around the world. But I do know that when I speak in tongues, I am making intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And then the scriptures tell us, rejoice that your name is written in heaven, not erased. And it's, you know, that's after he told him, I give you authority against all the power of the enemy. And he said, don't rejoice that you can cast out devils, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. It's permanently there. It's indelibly written there. And after he told them, I give you power and authority, when they returned, the 70 said, even the devils are subject unto you. And he said, rejoice not that they're subject unto you, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. And that's what we can rejoice about. For those of you who send your kids off to our schools, we need to pray for them. Do you pray with thanksgiving for the schools with your children? Do you pray about safety so they fear not? Some of our people want to ban guns. Other people want to arm everybody. I think our prayer can be a better choice. However, in Europe, it seems the weapon of choice is the blade. Could it be old Mackey's back in town? It wouldn't be a bad idea to invite your neighbors over for weekly prayer for your local schools and for all the schools in America. Get together and command that evil stay out of our schools. It would be a powerful thing to do, even if you start with only one parent or one neighbor and you. I am planning to talk to the pastors and ministers around town and tell them about what we're doing, that with their and getting them to do it with their congregations. It's better than marching and carrying signs and yelling and screaming and cursing. There is great power in prayer, even greater than guns or arming our teachers. This isn't my idea. It is God's instruction to pray for all those that are in authority, that is, anyone in government, even educational fields and so on. And this is so that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all tranquility, arising from within. Do we believe that? Well, shouldn't our children be able to have peace and quiet in their schools? Well, that's something we ought to pray for. And we need to pray for all men as the scriptures exhort. Then in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Well, I'm sure you could probably label some of the people that are talked about in the news as doing one of those activities. But the scriptures tell us where to what? Pray for them, yeah. Isn't that what our Lord did? And he was the Savior of the world. He loved his enemies. He blessed them that persecuted him. He did good to them that hated him and prayed for them which despitefully used them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I think Stephen said the same thing while he was being stoned. Don't sacrifice the goodness in your hearts for a few cheap words or deeds. You know, I grew up in New York, and 99% of all comedy and jokes was sarcasm. And, you know, to really say something that really zapped them. Why give up your goodness that's in your heart for a few cheap words or deeds? Be who God called you to be, an ambassador for Christ. Never let anyone take the blessings God gives you away from your enjoyment or knowing who God is and knowing who Jesus Christ is to the world. You cannot fail with God's love inside. Let them write what they want. We can live what God has written for us. We are beloved of God. So there we go on blessing and cursing.